In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Trinity Sunday is with us once more, or perhaps it is more accurate to say, we are with Trinity Sunday. The festival of the Holy Trinity, the one Sunday in the church year where the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is set out before us with a heightened emphasis, a sharp focus upon the nature of God. There is one nature to God, but also the distinctness of the three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each God, but sharing in one divine nature, the Trinity in unity, the unity in Trinity, not three gods, but one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, when we were reading the Athanasian Creed, it probably seemed rather arcane, technical, abstract. But there is a sharp definition here between the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there is also a clear distinction between the three persons of the Holy Trinity. We won't go into this in detail here in reference to the Athanasian Creed, but we do have this. There, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God, because they share in equally the same divine nature as God. Again, that is a mystery that is beyond the ability of the human mind to totally grasp. It is beyond us. I mean, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, right? That's what the Muslims say when they accuse Christians of worshiping three gods. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. But that's the wrong equation. How about this? 1 × 1 × 1 = And how many? I believe integer is the correct term. Is that right? Is it? Anyway, okay. 3 + 1 = 1 × 3. Now, this confession of the Holy Trinity is set forth in our liturgy. It's all through our liturgy. And in fact, it is in your baptism, for you were baptized not in the name of the Father alone, not in the name of the Son alone, not in the name of the Holy Spirit alone, but in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as Jesus told his disciples when he prepared to send them out on the Great Commission. Go forth and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So, at the beginning of the divine service, when we say these words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we are remembering our baptism. We are also naming the God whom we worship. And we continue to do that throughout the divine service. You are absolved in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Notice the Kyrie, it's threefold. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Or as the Athanasian Creed says, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord, and yet there are not three Lords, but one Lord. The glory be to God on high. We give glory to the Father. We give glory to the Son. We give glory to the Holy Spirit. It continues throughout the liturgy in the classic Sanctus, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. Threefold repetition of holy. And then, at the conclusion of the divine service, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. So again, the confession of the Holy Trinity is there throughout our liturgy. And our liturgy is Trinitarian in structure, in shape. Now, all this is a mystery. All this, again, is beyond the ability of the finite human mind to grasp the wonder of, the splendor of. But really, if our finite minds could take hold of this in its entirety, it wouldn't be much of a mystery. God would not be far above us. We could, by our reason, ascend to heaven and know God as he is. We would need no revelation of God in his nature and in the distinctness of his persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that's not the way it works, is it? God comes to us. The Father makes himself known through his Son, Jesus Christ. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And we know the Father through Jesus Christ. None knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal the Father, Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew. But what is the work of the Holy Spirit in this? He also is God, sharing equally in the Godhead with the Father and the Son. But what does he do? He's kind of vaporous, you could say. He's more abstract. Well, the work of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Christ, through whom we know the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds eternally from the Father and the Son, and his work is like that of John the Baptist, who preached, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Do you believe in Christ Jesus as your Savior? Do you confess him as Lord of Lords, God of very God? Then the Holy Spirit has done his work through you, or in you. The Holy Spirit has accomplished his purposes of bringing you to faith in Christ and bringing you to the knowledge of the one true God. Okay, there's the introduction to the sermon for Trinity Sunday. Now we'll continue on for about, 20 more minutes or so. Not really. Okay, the sermon title for today is Ego a Me. And I've used that as a sermon title before. When you hear that, you may think, let go of my ego. But that's not what it's talking about. Ego a Me is a Greek phrase. And what it means is I am. Or more specifically, I myself am. Ego a Me is a transliteration from the Hebrew, where the Lord God reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush, and Moses wants to know his name. Moses wants to know whom he should tell the people of bondage, the people of Israel in bondage in Egypt, who it is that has sent them, sent him to them to bring the deliverance of the Lord God to them. And the Lord speaks to Moses from the burning bush and says, I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. Now, I am. I am right now. I am in this pulpit. I am in our chapel / fellowship hall. I am preaching to you. That is a present tense. But when the Lord God says of himself and reveals his name as I am, this means that he is eternally I am. You can't say that the Lord God has a past or that he has a future. God doesn't say to the Son, remember that time we went on a picnic up in Pisgah Forest at Wilson Creek. No, God eternally exists. God is outside of time. We are creatures of time, but time itself is a creation of God. And as the author of Hebrews says of Jesus, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's according to human terms. But the same thing applies to the entirety of the Holy Trinity. Now, Jesus got involved in a controversy with the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. Jesus was making some rather astounding claims for himself. And we either accept those claims as true, or we make Jesus out to be a liar. In fact, C.S. Lewis, a Christian apologist, one who defended the faith, says, we cannot make Jesus out to be a good teacher and leave it at that. Because a man who claimed to be God and wasn't would not be a good teacher. He would either be a liar, and how can a liar be good? He would be a lunatic who believed that he was a hard-boiled egg, or said he was a hard-boiled egg, or he would be the very devil in hell. He cannot be merely a good teacher if he says that he is God. There is no wiggle room on this. He is either God or he isn't. And if he is not God, if he is not the one who makes the Father known to us, if he is not the one the Holy Spirit points us to as the author of our salvation, then we're wasting our time. Let's face it. Christianity is a myth. Let's face it. But if Jesus is who he says he is, that makes all the difference in the world. Now, a quick run through on today's gospel reading. The Jews did not like what Jesus said, and they asked him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? That may seem strange to say that Jesus is a Samaritan, but what they're doing by applying the term Samaritan to him is saying, you are a heretic. You are a false teacher. And you have a demon. It is the demon within you that's making you say these grandiose things about yourself. Well, earlier, Jesus had been accused of casting out devils because he himself was a devil, to which he replied, hey, if Satan is divided against himself, then his kingdom will certainly fall. But if it is by the power of God that I cast out demons, know that the kingdom of God has come among you. Jesus says, I don't have a demon. I honor my Father. I confess my Father's name. but you dishonor me, and in dishonoring me, you dishonor my Father. Again, notice Jesus speaks of my Father. The Jewish people did not do that. They may have said our Father, but they did not typically apply the name Father to God. Yet Jesus sets up a unique relationship between himself and his Father in heaven. Jesus makes another grandiose claim. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. He will never die. Now, this is not talking about temporal death, but eternal death. And so the Jewish leaders misunderstand Jesus, and they say, ah, that clinches it. Now we know that you have a demon, because Abraham died, as did the prophets. In the reading from Acts today, we heard that David died. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Hey, fella, are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Well, Jesus is going to tell them whom he makes himself out to be. Let's skip forward a few verses. He says to the Jewish leaders, your father Abraham was the father of the Hebrews, rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews were aghast by this. They said, you aren't yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Now, we do know that Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. We're told that in the Gospels. So why are they saying, you aren't yet 50 years old? Well, there are a couple of explanations for this, and I'm not going to get too technical. But there was a Jubilee year, the 50th year of a man's life, and then the double Jubilee if someone reached 100. So they're saying of Jesus, hey, you haven't yet reached your Jubilee year. You aren't yet 50 years old. You don't know what you're talking about, buddy. You haven't studied the Torah long enough. And you say that Abraham saw your day? You say that you saw Abraham? And here we come to it. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Notice Jesus doesn't say, before Abraham was, I was. He says, I am. Ego, a me, the name of God, the sacred name, the holy name by which the Lord God revealed himself to Moses and thus revealed himself to the children of Israel and thus revealed himself to the prophets and thus has revealed himself in Christ Jesus to the whole world. I am the name of the Lord God. This is what Jesus is saying about himself, that he is the Lord God. He is the one who delivered the children of Israel out of bondage to the Pharaoh. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. All things were created through him, we read at the beginning of St. John's Gospel. Without him, nothing that has been created was created. Jesus is making a grandiose claim for himself, and the Jews recognize this because they thought he was guilty of blasphemy, and so they picked up stones to throw at him. Now remember what John writes at the conclusion of his gospel. Jesus did many other things that are not recorded in this book, but these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Because this Son of God, this revealer of the Father, this Christ to whom the Holy Spirit directs your attention as your Savior, went to the cross for you. The Lord God willed His incarnate Son to go to the cross, to die for the sins of the world, the sins of all mankind, for your sins and my sins. Because it is through the shed blood of Christ that we merely not know the forgiveness of God, not experience the forgiveness of God. It's more than that. I think I put two knots in there that shouldn't be there. It is through this Jesus that we know God as a loving Heavenly Father, as the one who sends His incarnate Son into the world, as the one who has bestowed upon the church His Holy Spirit so the church may proclaim the gospel, as the one who has given His Holy Spirit to you so that you may know this Jesus Christ and may confess Him as your Savior, and thus, through Christ, know the Father. So when you think of it that way, this doctrine of the Holy Trinity is not abstract. The Holy Trinity works together so that you may know the one true God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.